We have that somewhere in our past. All of us do. But praise God, that's why Jesus Christ died on the cross. Is that right? That's why we can stand up here and boldly say that I'm a child of the King this morning. I don't worry about what happened back, you know, so many years ago. I know it's not, the devil wants to bring it up to me every once in a while. But praise God, I know that I'm saved this morning. I know that I am born again this morning. Amen. How about you? You know, how about you this morning? Can you say beyond a shadow of a doubt this morning that you're sitting here this morning and know that Jesus Christ lives in your heart this morning? That is the most important question that I can ask you that you will ever answer in this life that you live in right now. I'm going to tell you that. Do you know that you're saved this morning? Do you know that the Spirit of God dwells in your heart this morning? If you cannot say that, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to give you the opportunity here in a little bit. Matter of fact, you can come up here right now. I seen a little boy right there a little bit ago, Xavier, I believe is what his name is. He got down and raised me. Mother, he started crawling up through here as fast as he could. Praise God, you know what? If you're here this morning and know Jesus, you need to get up here that fast also. Because we need to know Jesus. Amen. We need to know Him. Praise God this morning. I told him last Sunday night whenever I preached, I'm not going to get a whole lot of amens out of what I'm going to preach on. And I guarantee you I probably will not get a whole lot of amens this morning. That's fine. Just pray that God gives me what's needed to be said here this morning. I'm going to be over in Haggai, the second chapter, beginning with the third verse. When I ask you a question, how does it look to you now? How does it look to you now? And you'll get the gist of it here in a little bit, I hope. Haggai, the second chapter, if you don't know where it's at, go to Matthew and go back about two chapters. It's in the Old Testament. Well, I'd love to hear pages turn. Keep right on going. That's fine. I can wait. We're on God's time. We're not on Dave's time. All right. Hey guys, the second chapter, beginning with the third verse. I may read a couple of verses. Who is left among you that saw the house in her first glory? And how do ye see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. And again, I want to go back to the third verse here and ask you this. How do you see it now? How do ye see it now? That's the question I want to ask you. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving in my heart. I love you this morning, Lord. I praise you for what you've done, Lord. I'm just praising you for what you're going to do, Lord. I pray, Father, this morning as the word goes out, Lord, I pray that the hearts are receptive, Lord. I pray that, Lord, that we, Father, as a church, as a nation, as a community, Lord, would ask ourselves, how do we look at ourselves now, Lord? And Jesus will give you the praise for it all. And amen. And amen. It's a good question to ask you here on August the 23rd, 2015. How does it look to you now? And you can say, what are you talking about, preacher? You know, how does the church look to you now? I'm not talking just about Drift Run Church, but I'm talking about the church of the living God. The church of which, whenever Jesus told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want to ask you this morning, how does the church look to you now? Has the church minded the Lord? Has it done that? Has the church, you know, felt the Spirit of God moving in it? You know what? I want to ask you this morning. How do you look at that this morning? If you go to churches around and about, is the Spirit of God still moving in them churches like it used to do? I want to ask you that question here this morning. Listen, it didn't make no difference years ago what name was above the church. Praise God, I'm going to tell you something. The Spirit of God moved in those churches. Why does it not move today? I'm asking, how does it look to you now? You know what? Is the Word of God being preached in the churches the way that it used to be preached in the churches? And then, you know, the preachers would stand up without fear, without anything in their mind, in the back of their minds, worried about who might get upset, worried about that. I'm telling you, is the Word of God being preached in the churches the way that it used to be preached? How does it look to you now? How does that look to you now? How does it sound whenever you listen to preachers preach? is the power of prayer moving in the churches the way that it used to move in the churches. I believe that prayer was used to be moving in the churches, was powerful in the churches. How does it look to you now? How does it feel to you now? Does it feel like maybe that our prayers go no higher than the ceiling in here sometimes? Have you seen the fruits of your prayers? Have you seen them come to fruition? Have you done that and really seen it as a church as a whole? I want to ask you something else. Does the testimony of the Christian saints standing up in church still move you? Still, get a hold of you and let it move your soul and heart? The testimony of people that are going through things in their life, does it still move you? Does it still, attract you? Does it still make you say, praise God, that they did? Does the hymns that we sing in church, the simple hymns that we sing sometimes, whether it be Washed in the Blood, Amazing Grace, whatever it may be, do those hymns still move you? Do they still get into you and make you swell up inside and feel the Spirit of God move you? Do they do that? I mean, how does it look to you now? As Haggai asked that question, I'm asking the church this morning. I'm asking you this morning to look at yourself individually. How does it look to you now? Maybe the songs that were sung, like Ryan sung this morning, thank God I'm redeemed. Amen. Thank God that I can stand up here, not as a preacher, but as Dave Long being saved by the Spirit of God back in 1974. Praise God, I am redeemed. Can you say that? How does that look to you this morning? How does it feel to your heart and soul? Can you say that this morning, that I am redeemed? Does that song touch your heart in the way that it should touch you? It's a simple question. Does it still stir up your heart? Does coming to church and getting up in the mornings stir up your heart? Is there a joy and thing? Like David said, let me say that I was glad when they said, let us come into the house of the Lord. Does he still get excited about coming to church? That's a question you've got to ask for yourself. That's something that you've got to answer that question for yourself here this morning. Is it exciting to realize and know, listen, I am going to God's house this morning to be around God's people, to listen to God's Word, to hear the music of God, and praise God, are you excited about it this morning? How does it look to you now? How does it look? Very simple question. But I believe it needs to be answered by every individual sitting here today and sitting in churches across this land and across the world. You know what? All of the above make your heart just... Listen to me. Do you remember? I remember whenever I first got saved how, you know what? That the joy of the Lord is my heart. My heart would almost pound out of my chest. Amen? Do you remember that whenever God saved you and how that your heart would almost pound? Does that feeling still come to you this morning? When you think about and hear God's Word and hear His music and hear what He has done for other people's life, does that still happen to you? Praise God. How does it look to you now compared to how it looked to you whenever Jesus Christ first came into your heart? Man, isn't that an awesome question to ask? Isn't that the question that needs to be asked of each and every individual? And of everybody in here this morning? Listen to me, folks. You know what? Christ has just... You remember that happened when Christ had just saved your soul? And you, I'll tell you, nothing can explain, and unless you've had that experience, nothing can explain to you how it is when you know that your sins have been forgiven. That your name is washed, as you've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Nothing can take that place. No feeling on this earth has ever, ever gotten into me like that did that night, that October night back in 1974. Praise God. Do you know why? Because it was something that was so earth-shattering, so amazing. You can never forget it, and I have never forgotten. Let me take you to the place where the Lord saved me. Let me show you the time. Let me tell and explain to you what it was like the night that the Lord saved me. How that my heart started pounding out of my chest. How that the Spirit of God come flooding into my soul. and how that I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt what had just happened to me. All the saints' testimony, all the preaching that I've heard, down up until that point in time, I could not comprehend. But let me tell you, that night I comprehended it. I not only comprehended it, I felt what it was about. Amen. Let me tell you something. Whenever the Spirit of God comes in your heart, you're going to feel it. Whenever Jesus Christ saves your soul, you're going to feel it. You're going to know what happened. There ain't going to be no doubt. There's not going to be this thing about whether or not it's right or wrong or what. You'll know whenever Jesus comes into your heart. As Haggai asked that question thousands of years ago, let me ask you a simple question again for him. How does it look to you now? How does it? Is church boring? Is the singing, you know, singing, the teaching, the preaching, is it, let me tell you, does it bother you to get up to come to church? Does all this stuff bother you now where it used to be you were excited about it? Let me tell you something. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. God can do that to you this morning. God can do that to every individual here this morning. Listen to me. He is no respecter of person. Me is none whatsoever. I'm telling you here this morning, right now, if you want the joy of your salvation restored unto you, God can restore it. And you can feel again. You can feel what needs it. You know what he can do? You know what? Is your prayer life hit and miss? This is not asking you as individuals. Is your prayer life hit and miss? You know what? Is the only Bible that you ever read is on Sunday mornings? Listen to me. How does it look to you now? How does that sound to you now? I'll tell you something right now. You know what? Psalms 122:1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Praise God. Mark that in there, because you know what? We need to be glad. We need to be thankful for the opportunity. Well, preacher, I'm here. I'm here this morning, preacher. What more do you want? I didn't ask you if you were here this morning. I can see that you're here this morning. I'm asking you this morning, do you feel the Spirit of God moving in your heart and in your soul? Do you feel Him? Do you understand what I'm talking about when I say that the Spirit of God can move you, can make you excited, can set you on fire for Him? That's what I'm asking. That's the question. Psalms 84:10, for a day in the courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tent of wickedness. Amen. I've often heard it said, you know, there's different degrees in heaven, different degrees in hell, and I'm not here to argue that point. But let me tell you something right now. I would rather be the janitor in heaven than I would be the king of hell. Amen. Praise God this morning. I don't care. I want to get there. Amen? I want to be there with Jesus. I don't care what He's having me to do. I want to be there. How do you see it now? How do you see that now? Do you believe God still answers prayers? I'm going to ask you. I'm going to tell you something right now. Do you still believe that God can split the Red Sea?
Amen.
That God can still heal the sick? I believe He still can. That He can cause the blind to see.
Amen.
Cause the lame to walk. Can you still believe that this morning? And cause the most hardened hearts to change. Do you believe that He can do that? I believe He can do that. Do you believe that God can take a man like Saul and make him a man called Paul? Amen? He can do that. I believe that this morning. You know what? I do. And I want to tell you something else this morning also, brother. I want my life to reflect that I believe God still answers prayers. And I believe that all of us in here should want to reflect that also. That God still is a prayer answering God. Amen? A God that not only can answer prayers, but what? Who still does answer prayers. That's what I believe this morning. There's a universal need for prayer, folks. No doubt in my mind, there is a universal need for prayer, and the churches have got to be at the forefront of it. We as Christians need to be at the forefront of it. We need to be on our knees more now than ever. You agree with me on that? We need to be on our knees now more than we ever have been on our knees. We need to be, the world needs us. The United States needs us. And praise God, you know what? This little community around here needs us to be a prayer for church, a praying church, a church that whenever people see us, they know that God, Drift Run Church will pray, and they will pray for the needs of the community and for the needs of a family. Amen? How does it look to you now? How does it sound to you now? Where do you stand in your heart this morning whenever I ask you those things? We need to be a praying people. We need to be that more than anything. Isaiah 56:7, "Mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all the people." Amen? My house shall be called a house of prayer. God wants His houses. He wants His churches to be houses of prayer, to be set on fire for Him in that way. You know what prayer should be? It should be as natural as you and me breathing. You agree with me on that? It should be as natural as if me and you are breathing right here this morning. Our prayers should be that way. Amen? I am convinced that this world, that our communities, that this state, that this country would be a better place, brother and sister, if we would be more convicted about our prayer lives. Amen? Praise God. I believe God's Word should be read every day. Not just on Sundays. Not just when the preacher preaches. Not just when the teacher teaches. I don't have the time. Let me tell you something. And I say this, and I say this with all love intended. You take time for what's important to you. I believe God's Word should be of utmost importance to us. Whether it's Facebook, whether it's your computer, your favorite TV show or movie, sporting events, hunting, fishing, shopping, newspapers and magazines, or just lazing around the house. You do what you want to do when you want to do it. Amen? That's exactly right. I'm not going to stand up here. I told you I probably wouldn't get a whole lot, but I'm going to tell you right now, God's Word needs to be right at the forefront of all of it. John 5:39 tells us, "Search the Scripture. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Amen? You want to know more about Jesus? You want to know more about the Spirit and about what I've talked about here this morning? Get into His Word. Read His Word. How do you see it now? You know what? 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Rightly dividing the word of truth. You know what? There's a lot of things out there that can get you going down the wrong path. We need to be in God, our noses in God's Word, to help us rightly divide the word of truth, with the Spirit of God teaching us and showing us. Over in 1 Thessalonians 5:27, Paul said, "I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren." You know what? He was talking about 1 Thessalonians. But let me tell you something. I apply it to all of God's Word. And he thought it was important enough to read the epistle to all those people at Thessalonians. And listen to what he said. "I believe that God's holy word should be read by us, read to our children, studied and taught and preached." Look around. Look around. You know, look around you today. God's holy word is being fulfilled right in front of our eyes today. It's being fulfilled right in front of our eyes. All that's going on out here in this world, all that's going on in this country out here, don't think for one minute that it's not in God's Word and not being fulfilled, because it is. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-6, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, they shall not escape. But ye, brethren," or now get this, "but you, us as Christians, us here at different church, listen to me, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief." We don't need to be alarmed and to be taken by surprise for this stuff. We are children of the day. We're not of darkness. Praise God. "Oh, ye are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and let us be sober." Amen? We are not going to be surprised by what's going on, are we not? Because one, because we know God's Word. We know what's taking place out there. We know what direction this thing's heading. Again, I ask you, how do you see it now? Amen? How do you see it now? I believe we need the fellowship of God's people now more than ever before. Do you not agree with me on that? Amen? Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. This wasn't put in the Bible to take up space. It wasn't put in there just to be put in there. Listen to me. He's telling every one of us, if we hold up the banner of Christians, listen to me, we need to get together as Christian people and fellowship together and love one another and listen to the testimonies and listen to God's Word together. Paul wrote this so the people would know that there's strength in numbers. I'm telling you, there is strength in numbers if we band together. You know what the Bible says? If there are just two or three gathered together in His name. Listen to me. What do you think about whenever there's 90 to 100 people that gather in His name? He wanted them to know that no matter what they faced, listen to me, no matter what you're facing, don't run from God. Don't run from the church. Run to church. Run to God. Come, because you know what? Whenever you face it, you got people here that will help you face it and help you pray about it. We need to be with one another as much as possible. Amen? Well, I don't know if I like it. Listen to me. We need to be with Christians. We need to be with one another as much as we possibly can be with one another, because of strength, because of hope, because of all the things that they offer us. I'll tell you why. I love to hear the testimony of God's people. Do you not?
Amen.
maybe it's something, a testimony is said that maybe that you need at that time. Maybe there's a testimony that's going to be said sometime that you need to hear. And you're not here to hear it. God's trying to get you moved in there and trying to show you what's needed, but you're not here to hear the testimony that God's wanting you to hear or hear the Word. Maybe you need to hear it. You know what? Maybe you're not here to hear it. Then what? Whose fault's that? You'll miss out on a blessing that could help you get through what you're facing. You could do that. It doesn't just always come on Sunday mornings either. Amen? Doesn't just always come on, praise God, there are some pretty amazing services that we have out here on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Some pretty amazing services. And I want to tell you something right now. Praise God for those services. Do you know what? God's not limited to Sunday morning. Sunday night service starts at 6 and Wednesday night starts at 7. Praise God, we need to be in the house of the Lord as much as we possibly can. How does it look to you now? How does it look to you now? Oh, preacher, you're meddling. You know what? I'd rather meddle with you right now than end up seeing you someplace else down the road. Amen? Have you lost your praise? Have you never had it? 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. You're not in darkness no more. Why? Because Jesus Christ has made a way for you. That verse alone should make us want to have perpetual praise. Amen. That verse right there should make you want to have perpetual praise for Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, thank God for that this morning, because I have praise for Him. I love it. How do you see it this morning? How do you look upon what I'm preaching to you this morning? How are you looking upon it? You want the church to have its past glory, and I'm talking about the church of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Get in there where it needs to be. Get on fire for God again, and the church will be what it needs to be. Amen. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Amen? And into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. How many times have you come to church with praise on your lips or complaining upon your lips? Just let me ask you that. How does it look to you now? I'll tell you what, we need to come to His house with praise upon our lips for Him. Not the situation that's upon you, but praise for the One that can help you through the situations. You want to get more out of your worship service at church? Come to church with praise on your lips. Amen. Just come to church with praise on your lips. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. What? Concerning you. Concerning you. If you're holding up the banner of Christianity this morning, it's concerning you this morning. This means you. This means me. Again, let me ask you the question. How do you see me? How do you see it now? Huh? How do you see it now? I hope you see it in a different light. We don't just have to praise Him on praise and worship service either. Am I right? We don't just have to praise Him in church. Amen? We can praise Him at work. We can praise Him at the store. We can praise Him at the mall. We can praise Him in the woods. We can praise Him in our houses. Praise God. You know what? Go and just praise God because He inhabits the praise of His people. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, if you're praising God this morning, praise the Lord. He inhabits that praise. Let me tell you something. You're never alone. You are never alone if you're praising the Lord. Amen? Because He's there. He's there. How do you see it now? As Haggai asked that question thousands of years ago, I want to ask you that again this morning. How do you see it now? Have you grown cold in your life? Have you not felt the Holy Spirit move in your life for a while? I'm just asking you simple questions. How do you see it now? Does going to God's house and listening to God's Word not have the same appeal to you as it once did? Now, I'm asking you the heartfelt questions this morning about this. Remember the words in Revelation when it said this, and you know these scriptures. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. How do you see it now? If you're cold, if you're indifferent here this morning, if you have not felt the Spirit of God move in your life, I'm telling you right now, you need to get to this altar. You need to get up here. And like that little child did earlier, you need to crawl up here as fast as you can. Walk, crawl, whatever it takes. They come and get a song this morning. How do you see it now?